Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 27, 6:21. Chapter 27 is called Attack by Chandravega on the city of Puranjan. Katachit Atmana Ramaloka Sa Mahim Katam Bhavare Brihat Pratham Brahmachari Mam Chu Janati Kama Moita Kadachidat Mananasa Kadachidatmananasa Brahmalokan Mahingatam Brahmalokan Mahingatam Vavri Brihat Pratham Manchu Vavri Brihat Pratham Manchu Janati kama moita Janati kama moita Kadachidatmanasa Brahmalokan mahingatam Vavri brihat pratham mantu Janati kama moita. Kadachi datmana nasa. Malokam mahingatam. Vavri brihat pratham mantu. Janati kama moita. Dajidata manasa Bhavri priyat pratamadha Bhavri priyat pratamantu Janati kama moita Dajidata manasa Brahmalokan mahingatam Vavri brihat pratham mantu Janati kama moita. Ladies. Dachidanta manasa Brahmalokan mahingatam Vavri brihat pratham mantu Janati kama moita Kadachidata manasa Brahmalokan mahingatam Vavri brihat pratham mantu Janati kama moita Kadachit. Once upon a time, Atamana traveling Sa Shi Brahmalokat
from Brahmaloka, the highest planet. Mahim, on the earth. Katam, having come. Babre, she proposed. Brihat Pratam, avowed Brahmachari. Avowed Brahmachari. Oh, it is about Brahmachari. Sorry. Mam, unto me. To, then. Janati, knowing. Kama Mohita, being illusioned by lust. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When I once came to this earth from Brahmaloka, the highest planetary system, the daughter of time, wandering over the universe, met me. Knowing me to be an avowed brahmachari, she became lusty and proposed that I accept her. Purport. The great sage Narada Muni was a naishthika brahmachari. That is, he never had sex life. He was consequently an evergreen youth. Old age, jara, could not attack him. The invalidity of old age can overcome an ordinary man, but Narada Muni was different. Taking Narada Muni to be an ordinary man, the daughter of time confronted him with her lusty desire. It requires great strength to resist a woman's attraction. It is difficult for old men, and what to speak of young. Those who live as brahmacharis must follow in the footsteps of the great sage Narada Muni, who never accepted the proposals of jara. Those who are too much sexually addicted become victims of jara, and very soon their lifespan is shortened. Without utilizing the human form of life for Krishna consciousness, the victims of jara die very soon in this world. The verse again, Kadachir atmanas atamanasah brahmalokam mahim katham vapre prihat pratham mantu janati kamam unta. When I once came to this earth from Brahmaloka, the highest planetary system, the daughter of time, wandering all over the universe, met me. Knowing me to be an avowed brahmachari, she became lusty and proposed that I accept her. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Akhilam Janam Sivagyan Chakshurun Nidachami Natasvai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So here we have how it is interesting to know how time works differently. In the spiritual process, time is one thing, and in the material life of sense gratification, time is a completely other thing. In material life, time is perceived as past, present, and future. And in spiritual life, time is perceived as now. Like in the spiritual world, when they serve Krishna in one continuous present moment. It's not like Mother Yashoda goes to bed and says, tomorrow I'm going to cook for Krishna. She thinks all the time, right now I'm going to serve Krishna. And if she sleeps, she thinks, now I'll sleep for Krishna. They're never 1 second without memory of Krishna. Whereas Prabhupada says here, somebody in the material life, which is epitomized by sex life, because that's what it all boils down to, all our material arrangements, welfare, and all these things, they all boil down to sex life. So the spiritual part, so Prabhupada says here that when you are too much absorbed in this sexual activity, you die very quickly. So one may ask, well, I can live for 60, 80, 100 years and I can have sex. What's quick about that? It's not quickly. But it is quickly. It is quickly. Hare Krishna. It is quickly. It is just a flash of time. It's like a dream. In a dream, time feels very long. You can feel like you're experiencing most horrible things in a dream, and it takes a long time, but then you wake up and it was all just a few seconds. So then similarly, life also feels very long. Usually we say it feels like a lifetime. It's a long time. But when we reach the point of death, that is like waking up from the dream. That's what death is like. Death is like I'm waking from the dream. And then I will actually see what this life was, all the bad things I did, all the good things, and it will just become very clear, and the next destination will also become very clear at that point. I don't know exactly, but you can extrapolate what happens at death. It is described in the Bhagavatam. I think it is Maitreya Muni who explains about the fetus in the womb. And he doesn't say a human fetus, a human baby. He just describes life in the womb. So, and he says that after 7 months, you wake up in the womb. And then you understand everything. And that doesn't have to be, as far as I've understood, doesn't have to be a human womb. It can be in a dog womb, or a hippopotamus womb. Yeah, but that's, there are many types of birth from eggs, but it's all considered a womb. No matter how you're born, you are sometime, whatever you are in an egg, or you are in some slime, or whatever you are, it's like being in a womb. And at that point, you wake up and you understand why you are there, what you have done to be there. So that means 7 months you are kind of asleep. That means ordinarily when you die you just blank out and then you wake up 7 months later, either in an egg or in a womb or in a slob of slime or whatever. But when you are, also when you're very, very sinful, then you don't blank out at death. Then the Yamadutas come and they take you. That means you're conscious all the way. While they drag you onto hell, you're conscious the whole way. And similarly, when you're spiritually advanced, you also don't die. That's why Prabhupada says in one purport, by following this process, you will never die again. So we may say, yeah, but I'm at least going to die one more time. But it will not be like death, like an ordinary death. It will just be a transition, because when we are completely Krishna conscious, we don't lose consciousness at death. It will just be like leaving the body. We leave the body, and we are conscious the whole way. And that is the goal. That is what all our training is meant for. It's meant to be in the right consciousness at the point of death. Because that transition will propel us to our eternal we are already eternal. It's not that like we are temporary and then we are going to be eternal. For the soul is always its eternal. And we are always eternal. It is only the body which falls apart and dies. And Prabhupada says here, for the man in the material consciousness, who is too much addicted to sense gratification, in particular sex, he will die very soon. Because that's what life is like for a materialist. It is just a short glimpse in eternity. So then the trick is to use this life. That's what we do as devotees. We use this life to train ourselves to go back to eternity. And how do we do that? It is both a negative and a positive process. It's the yama and niyamas. There's the things we don't and the things that we do in favor of Krishna. So, just like it is said, smartavyam satatam vishnur vismartavyunadyatuchi, that we always have to remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So, one is a positive thing and the other one is a negative thing. Don't forget and always remember. So, in the beginning, in the sadhana process, we try to remember all the things that we should not do, and we try not to do them. And sometimes it is very hard. Like it says in the... But it all starts with our contemplation, our thought processes. Like it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dhyayato Vishyan Tongsang Sangaste Shubhadayate Sankat Sanjayate Kamat Kamat Krodhu Vijayate Krodhat Bhavati Samoham Samohat Smriti Vipramah Smriti Pramshat Udinashu Utyarnasha Pranashachi. It starts with contemplation on the sense objects. Then from that contemplation comes attachment. From attachment comes lust. And from lust, anger arises. And when there's anger, there's bewilderment, there's complete delusion. And when there's delusion, we forget, the memory is bewildered. And then the intelligence is lost, and then we are back into the three modes of material nature, the pool of material life, as Srila Prabhupada says. So it starts with contemplating. Like we are in the material world, we are constantly surrounded by sense objects. And we cannot avoid them. So they will be there the whole time, but what we can work on is to not contemplate the sense objects. Yeah, it's the same thing. Like if you see a pretty woman down in the temple, you will look and you will observe there's a pretty woman. Prabhupada said, but if you look twice, you're already attached, and if you look thrice, you're in Maya. So we have to look around and observe the world, but we don't have to contemplate the sense objects. And that is the trick. We see something attractive, but we don't start contemplating, oh, it would be nice, and blah, blah, blah. The mind goes on and on and on. Immediately, we just have to go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. That's how we control the mind. Not by, in the Ashtanga Yoga process, they take the mind and they withdraw it forcibly by the intelligence. That's not how we do in the bhakti process. In the bhakti process, we don't withdraw the mind. We simply engage the mind in Krishna's service and remembrance. Now in this verse from Bhagavad Gita, how it starts by contemplating, then comes attachment, and then lust. And then when the lust is frustrated, anger comes. And from anger, illusion. Then Prabhupada says, an interesting thing, then bewilderment of memory sets in. So what does that mean? Bewilderment of memory. It means that we forget the result of this activity. Like many times I've been engaged in sense gratification, and I know it always ends bad, and it can never satisfy you, but you forget that. And that means the intelligence is lost. Memory is a function of the intelligence. The memory has three functions actually. To doubt, to remember, and to discriminate. So when the intelligence becomes weak, then we can no longer remember that we should not engage in sense gratification. We forget, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, that the most important rule in Krishna consciousness is to always remember Krishna. But also, there's one thing you should, and he says this is just as important, at least in the beginning of our devotional endeavor, just as important as to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. He says there's also another thing you should never forget. You should never forget that material activities, they end in suffering. So when we engage, because the body wants automatically to engage in sense gratification, so then when the intelligence is not strong, we forget that it will end in suffering. If we all the time remember that these activities, even ordinary, not even pious activities, they will end, if they are material, if they are pious material activities, they will end in suffering. Because you have to, the body grows old, sick, and it dies. Doesn't matter whether you're sinful or pious or whatever you are, you have your loved ones will leave you. They will either die or they will just grow tired of you and leave. And that means suffering. So therefore there's just no chance that mature life will end well. They always have that, you know, in the movies, I promise everything's gonna be okay. They always say that. I promise everything's gonna be okay. You know, when the little child is crying, the mother says, comfort the child, I promise everything's gonna be okay. But nothing is gonna be okay. The material life always ends not okay. And that's what we have to remember, and that's what we are trained to remember as devotees. Like a materialist in the material society, they say, oh, you're so negative. Always meditating upon the negative stuff, death, birth, old age, disease. Why do you have to remember these things and talk about these things so much? You have to take the good in life. Love, beautiful sunrise. Yes, but seen from the spiritual point of view, from the eternal point of view, there's nothing good about material life. But also we cannot avoid it. It's not that we can avoid it. So therefore we have to take our body, our thoughts, our whole mental process, our intelligence, take everything that we have, and when we direct that towards Krishna, it becomes spiritualized. It becomes eternal. This body we have to leave, but we have an eternal body. It is there, and we just have to return to it. And that's what death means. That is the final transition. And Prabhupada put so much stress on being trained up. And he says many times that this life is a preparation for death. Death is the final examination, the final test. Now, as devotees, we have such a beautiful process that we actually don't have to fear death. Materialists will also say, I don't fear death, I can't avoid it, so let me just forget about it. And then in that way, they think they don't fear death. But every sentient being, every thinking person will fear death. Because you don't know what's going to happen. And you will wonder, if you have some reflection and intelligence, you will wonder what's going to happen. And that's why modern society is completely going to hell, because they have no knowledge, no questions about death, nothing. They just accept, oh, we don't know. They even make it like a good thing. You're not meant to know that, they say. It's like a good thing. It's good that there are things we don't know. They make it into a virtue that there are things that we don't know. But ignorance is never a virtue. We have to be knowledge and know these things. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is teaching us. So mercifully teaching us in his books and in his teachings. We learn all these things, how to transcend not only bodily suffering, but to transcend death and get back to our spiritual existence. And that is only possible in this age by chanting Hare Krishna. That is why of all the things that we do in the sadhana process, the most important thing is to chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, I'm reading this book by the new book by Giriraj Swami. And he has many quotes from Prabhupada, and Prabhupada says the most important thing you have to do every day is chant your 16 rounds. It doesn't matter if you sleep the whole day, and if you only eat and sleep, but if you chant your rounds, then you're somewhat okay. He said you can eat and you can sleep, but you have to chant your rounds. That doesn't mean that we should just eat and sleep and chant Hare Krishna. We have many other things to do. But sometimes, but it's to emphasize how important it is. Because that is our connection with Krishna, is through his name. We cannot approach Krishna like the pure devotees. They just see Krishna everywhere. And also sometimes the pure devotees, they don't see Krishna. They say, where is Krishna? And they are completely longing for Krishna and frustrated that they can't see Krishna. But even in that longing and frustration in the mind of a pure devotee, that is also Krishna. But for us ordinary souls and practitioners of sadhana, we have to constantly try and remember Krishna and connect with Krishna in everything we do. And if we remember that all the time, it's very hard to be in Maya. At least gradually we will lose the taste for Maya. And when we see, like when we see this whole material world, when we see it as Krishna's energy, it is actually just a perverted reflection of Radharani, Durga Devi. She's just she's an expansion. Oh, Radharani. Then when we see that and understand that, we will be less and less inclined to enjoy her. That's what we came here. We came to enjoy Maya. But if we understand that Maya is the reflection of Radharani, who is Krishna's pleasure potency, and Radharani's only desire and function is to please Krishna, is to extend herself in so many ways. Just imagine, she's just the Ladini Shakti, has nothing else to do but please Krishna. So we have to be part of that. We have to become part of Radharani's endeavor. We have to become an atom in the energy that Radharani extends towards Krishna. That's our natural position. Now we are trying to be the enjoyers. But that is completely false. But even we may know that the tendency is still there because it's such a strong desire in the heart, and it is there from many, many millions and billions of births in the material world where we have tried to enjoy Maya. So now finally we have met. It is so rare to meet somebody who will tell us the real point, the real truth. And so somehow by our good fortune, by Krishna's mercy, we have come in contact with the Hare Krishna movement, with Prabhupada and his devotees and his followers and his books. That is so rare. It only happens once in a day of Brahma. That means it happens once in 4,320,000,000 years. Imagine, that's rare. 4 billion years. Immensely long time. Of course, in eternity, it's just like that. It's just there. It's nothing. Doesn't matter how much time you take out of eternity, it is still as if it didn't happen. It might as well not have happened. It's just like a dream. When we wake up, it might as well not have happened. And we understand, oh, it was all just a dream. And similarly, mature life is like that too. Like, if I have some, 1 week ago I had some very nice sense gratification, very nice feast. Of course, if it's prasadam, it's different. But say, I just had some very nice experience, sensual experience. What about now? It might as well have been a dream. There's no difference what I did 1 week ago, if it happened in a dream, or if it happened in so-called real life. No difference. It's exactly the same. Say I was driving my car down the road. And in a dream I'm driving a car down the road. Now a week later, it's the same thing. You can say, yeah, but I was actually driving my car. Yeah, but now in my mind, it's the same thing. I can't enjoy my car now. That's what sense gratification is like. It's like a dream-like. And that's why it can never satisfy us. A dream can never satisfy. And that's why sense gratification can never satisfy us really, truly. It may give us some temporary relief from some urges that we have, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But then it comes back, and again we have to engage. So sense gratification like that is just constantly endeavoring for something completely futile, which will anyway not make us happy. So that's why we are engaging in this bhakti process. In the beginning we may be selfishly motivated, yes, I want to be happy, and it's the only thing that can make me happy. But as we become more and more purified of the false ego, then we will actually only do it to please Krishna. That we become, whether we are, like Prabhupada says, whether we are in hell or heaven or wherever we are, if we can just serve Krishna, I'm happy. So our own personal happiness becomes just a secondary thing, like a side effect of pleasing Krishna. Bhakti is so beautiful when you think about that. It doesn't matter what situation you're in, poor, rich, lucky, talented, intelligent, stupid. If you simply engage in Krishna service, all these things become secondary. In material life, it's very important what education you have, what job you have, what car you have, what house you have, what wife you have. It's the most important things in the world. But in spiritual life, the most important thing is Krishna. Radha and Krishna. And when we take all these things, our material life, our wife, our kids, our house, our car, our money. And when we take that and connect that with Krishna, it becomes non-material. It's not material. It becomes spiritual. And then it will not any longer drag us down into the material pool. But it all begins with that we stop contemplating the sense objects. We can't avoid seeing them, but we have to stop contemplating them, thinking about them. And of course it can only happen by Krishna's mercy, but you also have to endeavor yourself. Like Prabhupada said, God helps those who help themselves. So to actually become free from sense gratification, it won't happen until Krishna takes it away. But you have to try and show Krishna, yes, I want to get rid of this nonsense. Please take it away. We have to constantly try, and how we try, how we show Krishna that we are actually trying, is by not contemplating the sense objects. Not thinking about them, not looking around all the time after them. And simply just thinking of the Hare Krishna mantra. When we do that, then we become successful. There may be many setbacks in the process of devotional service, and we will fall down many times. It is very rare that a person comes in and joins the Hare Krishna and then he just climbs up the ladder and becomes a pure devotee. We have seen it happen, it happens, but mostly in our own personal life we experience fall downs constantly. But it is not, we are not doomed if we stick to the process and if we keep cultivating our desire and our intelligence and our mind, cultivating it towards Krishna, then these fall downs will become less and less frequent, and in the end we will reach Nishta, because it is not until we reach Nishta that we become steady, that we don't fall back again. As long as we are on the Anartha Nivritti platform, there will be constant fall downs. Because lust is in the heart, lust will overwhelm us. It may not be gross fall downs, but it will be fallbacks. Even when you don't, if there's 1 second a day when you don't think of Krishna, that's like a fall down. So the bhakti process is so beautiful that it engages us in thinking of Krishna eternally. Imagine that. Imagine that when there's never 1 second in the day that we forget Krishna. Many times during the day I have to, oh wow, it's been like an hour now I haven't thought of Krishna. So we have to constantly bring the mind, that's how it is in the classical yoga process also, and that's also how it is in bhakti, that we have to constantly take the mind and bring it back to Krishna. Because it will constantly flutter away. That's how the mind is. The mind is called chandalam, flickering. It's a great rascal, the mind. So we have to subdue this mind. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said you have to beat the mind every day 100 times with a shoe. And the disciples, they asked Prabhupada, is this to be taken literally? Should I actually take a shoe and beat my mind? And Prabhupada said, yes. It does mean you take a shoe and beat it on your head. It means you take a mental shoe and a stick and you smash the mind. You can do it mentally. It is not to be taken figuratively. Of course, it's figuratively because you do it in the mind. But you actually have to take a stick and smash the mind. It's like when in the Vedic psychology I heard, when you're attacked by, or when you have been possessed by a ghost, they tie you to a stick and beat you with sticks. They tie you to a pole and beat you with a stick, because it hurts so much that the ghost doesn't want to stay in a body that is suffering like that, so it disappears. So we also have to actually beat the mind. The best way to beat the mind is by chanting Hare Krishna. The mind hates it. It hates it. Even we think sometimes chanting and really trying to hear and not letting the mind wander, constantly the mind will wander. Even the mind will go, oh, now listen, I'm hearing really well now, listen to me chanting. That's how the mind will constantly try and get you away from Krishna. That is the job of Maya. See, Radharani, she will constantly try and get you to Krishna, but her reflection of Maya will constantly try to get you away from Krishna. So we just have to take and understand that Maya is actually Krishna's energy, is also Krishna. Because the only thing, the only one that can get you away from Krishna is Krishna. It is only by the help of Krishna that we can be in Maya and forget Krishna. Mata smriti jnanam apohanam cha. Remembering, forgetfulness and knowledge comes from Krishna. So even if we had to forget something, we need the help of Krishna. Sometimes people, they experience something traumatic and they can't forget it, and it makes their life hell because they can't forget it. But Krishna can make you forget all these. He can make you forget about sense gratification, make you forget about your material body, make you forget about the bodily pains. Krishna can do that. And he can make you remember him. So therefore we have to constantly petition and pray to Krishna, please, please help me do this. That's the only thing we can do. We can only desire. Everything else is carried out by material nature. Prakriti kriyamanani guna karmani sarvashana. It's carried out by nature. It's not me doing these things. And nature is Krishna's energy, so when I wanna, even if I wanna be sinful and do something hellish, slaughter a cow or something, it is actually being done by material nature. But what is material? Why is nature doing these horrible things? Because I want it. So that's what the only thing we can do as a soul is to desire. We think when my body is doing it, we think I'm doing it. But I'm not. I'm just desiring it. And nature is doing it. So the desire is what we have to work on. That's what we have to cultivate. And that's what we have to purify in devotional service. Our desire. We have to pray to Krishna to only desire him and nothing else. And that's what we are doing when we are chanting Hare Krishna. We are praying to Krishna, please help me become your servant. Thank you very much for your kind attendance and presence and attention. Are there any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhu. The Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that anger arises from lust. I didn't understand it very clearly, because sometimes we see we become angry for different reasons. It is not always directly connected to lust. Can you kindly explain how it is? All types of anger, I mean, coming from lust.
Yes, it is because lust is the mode of passion. Usually we say lust, we mean gross lust, like sex lust. But lust is simply material desires, that's lust. If I want to have a nice position, or a nice child, or a nice dog, I would like. Or if I want to be learn something, that you can call that lust. Even if I want to be learned in the scriptures, that's a type of lust. So that's passion, and anger is tamagun. So passion, which is not being tempered by the mode of goodness, there's no question of passion staying like it is, just passion. It will always degrade into tamagun. So therefore this lust always degrades into passion always degrades into tama, and that means lust always degrades into anger. It is not, usually we say when you have gross lusty desires and you can't have them fulfilled, then you become angry and frustrated. Why can't I do this? Or if somebody comes in your way and in the way of your sense gratification, you become very angry at this person because he's stopping your sense gratification. So there's also other types of anger, but that's more like, what type of anger are you saying? I don't see any other types.
Say for example, if somebody steals my money, I can get angry. Or sometimes maybe some worker is coming late, so I can become a little angry.
So you can actually say that it is your lust for your money that makes you angry, because if you didn't care about money, if you weren't lusty for your possessions, and somebody comes and steals them, you won't care. Like an Uttamadhikari, who's completely beyond the modes of nature, just like there was this, I think it was Vamsidas Babaji, and somebody stole his... He had only like three or four things in his little hut, and he used them to cook for Krishna. And somebody stole his pot, or it was a golden thing, I think. I don't remember exactly. But some thief came and stole, and he said, and he became angry at Krishna. He said, "Why, Krishna, are you letting this thief steal?" He wasn't becoming angry because he had possessiveness. Usually when you become angry, it's because you're possessive. Like materially, if you're in material consciousness and somebody steals your money, you become angry because you're possessive of your right and your money, your possessions. So somebody frustrates that lust and you become angry. So there, in the details may vary, but fundamentally, in principle, anger always follows lust. Anger always comes from lust. And you may have more refined types of lust, but it is still lust. Usually when we say lust, we mean, you know, sex lust. But lust simply means material desires. It's that desire in the heart for enjoying, that's lust. And because we can't actually enjoy, because we are not enjoyers, it always ends in anger. That's why people who are very lusty, they're also always very angry.
Thank you.
Gangyama Prabhu, did you have? Thank you very much. Oh. You want to? Oh, that's all you wanted to say? Mataji, yes, can you give her the mic?
Thank you for your wonderful class, Prabhuji. I have one question. What should we do when we want to cope up with the pain of separation from devotees?
What should we do when we suffer the pains of separation from devotees?
When we experience pain of separation from devotees, how can we cope up with this pain and what should
cope with the pain?
Yes, and what should be our mode? What should we do to, how can we deal with it better?
Yeah, if it's a spiritual emotion, then this pain of separation will give rise to joy. Because it's just like when you, even you think of Krishna, you become happy, even though you can't be with him. But if it's it's a relation to your mature body, and you feel some separation from either your children or your husband, or you lose something, you can spiritualize that pain by seeing it in connection with Krishna. You just have to connect everything with Krishna. And you have to understand, well, Krishna took it away. He must have a purpose. And I do feel pain from losing something, my husband or my daughter or my son. But that pain will not become traumatic if you connect it with Krishna. But if it's just a material relation and you only think of it in material terms, then the pain will be so frustrating and you have to go to a psychologist and take medicine and so many things. But as a devotee, you simply just connect it with Krishna. Even your pain, you can connect with Krishna. Even you feel some pain, you say, oh yes, Krishna, please help me endure this pain. I'm feeling this pain for you. I'm your servant. You can do that. And the pain will immediately become tolerable, at least. May not go away, but it will become a whole different thing in your consciousness and in your mind. Like when the gopis, they ask Krishna, during the Rasa dance, Krishna all of a sudden just left. And the gopis, they went crazy. Where's Krishna? And they were suffering. They were in so much pain because they couldn't get Krishna. They were going pining away. And then when Krishna came back, they chastised Krishna. What are you doing here? We gave up everything to come to you. We gave up our sons, our fathers, we gave scorn from society because we go to dance with a young boy in the forest. Everything we gave up to come to you, and then you just leave. What's wrong with you? And Krishna said, you have to understand that whatever suffering I put my devotee through is only for two things, to increase their longing and attachment for me. So in life, in devotee life, whatever happens, it is not anymore your karma. Krishna may use your karma to give, but he doesn't do it to punish you from previous sinful activities. He does it to increase your longing and attachment for him. So whether it's good or bad that happens, if we see it like that, this is Krishna doing it to me to increase my longing and attachment and to help me give up this nonsense material life. Then it becomes a positive thing. Even pain and frustration, sorrows, they will become positive if we connect them with Krishna. So we will end here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Go Vimananda Hare. Thank you.